Does nobody like the right-hand side of the church? Yeah, you technically are. All right. So, as I prepare my thoughts, I got it. Gretchen is gladly told me earlier that she would love to open us up in prayer. Amen. Thank you. Mountaintop experience. Right? Every year during summer camp, and for those who haven't known, we just got back from summer camp, right? And it was an awesome time, wasn't it? Okay. Now, the phrase mountaintop experience is thrown around every time during summer camp, and especially after summer camp. So, what do you think of when I say mountaintop experience? Yes, Ryan, sir.
An experience on the mountain.
That would be exactly correct. Nobody else needs to say anything. Oh, Nick has something to add. So that's what you guys all think of, is Ryan's and Nick's answers when you say mountaintop experience. No? No, Elena? No, you were shaking your head first.
I think it's how you feel once you get home from summer camp and you feel great.
And you feel great. Feel great because you were working out and doing a lot of sports, I get, right? And going up and down a hill. No, what do you feel great about? Gretchen, did you have something? Elena took your words from you. So is everybody in agreement? That's what you think of when I say mountaintop experience.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I had an itch, and I didn't know the mic was there. All right. In God's word, mountains are often reported as places for power and personal encounters with God. Nick was right. You know, Moses, right? Moses in Exodus 20, Moses received what from God up on a mountain? Ooh, the Ten Commandments, to be precise, right? Sorry. I'm moving that down because it exploded, really. So the Ten Commandments were up on a mountain, right? After that experience, Moses, his face radiated with God's glory. Meaning, it did what? It glowed in the dark, right? It was just so bright because he was happy. That experience, that Lord, the God's presence, you know, just filled. And just his presence made Moses, you know, glow with the power. Abraham demonstrated faith on a mountain. He took his son, you all might know this story, took his son and did as the Lord commanded him. Abraham was about to do the unthinkable. But just in time, God provided an alternative. That's found in Genesis 22. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah met God on Mount Carmel and called down a fiery victory over hundreds of false prophets. Mountaintop experience brings a flow of joy and peace that eclipse all other experiences. They give us a fresh awareness of God's reality and a closeness to Him. My experience in SummerCon always leaves me renewed and wanting to be better. Wanting to be better. In Psalms, let's turn to Psalms. Roughly in the middle of the Bible and then to the left, I guess. Psalms 18, verse 28. Julia, can you read that?
You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness to light.
Sorry. It might sound weird to be encouraged by knowing your weakness. Now, but every time at summer camp, I know I don't have the best memory. And it's evident. Whether it's remembering people's names, I don't know if you had that same problem, is there's a lot of people out there. No? Pretty good with names? Are more importantly, Bible verses. There's some amazing teachers out there. And I know I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the best teacher. However, God inspires me, not that I fail, but that He will help me. He will help me in these areas if I only ask for His help. Because His light shows both on things that I need to work on, and it shines brightly on the path that I should take. So God is there. Psalms 18:29. Nick, can you read that? Could leap over a wall, Nick, right? Could leap over a wall and crush your enemies. Isn't that awesome?
Are you calling me fat?
Huh? I especially picked out that verse for you, Nick. Leaping over walls just reminds me of certain things, but. You did? Nice. No. Because with Jesus, we are empowered to run against a troop. Now, a troop is a large, organized, not random, but well-trained body of soldiers for waging war. And with Jesus' help, you could run against them. Meaning you could stand against them. Against a whole army of soldiers. You could stand against them and you could leap over walls. So they're fortresses, right? You could leap over them. Your enlightenment, wisdom, and knowledge is what God gives us. You know, and those are all really good things. But they also come with responsibility. They come with responsibility. In 2 Peter, so we're going towards the back of the Bible. We'll be jumping around. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Nah. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 2. Anyone? 21. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. All right? So, Elena. Second Peter? Is that First Peter? 2:21. No, that was a good word. It is said that it is better to know, you know, if we know the right thing to do, what should we do? It's not a trick question. If we know the right thing to do, what should we do?
Just do.
We should do the right thing, right? If you know the right thing, you no longer have excuse to do the wrong thing. So there's a responsibility there. And it says that in some cases it would be even better if you didn't know. You know, because if you knew and you did the wrong thing, that's even worse. Right? Because you have a responsibility because you know what to do. You know the right thing. What to do. So, now, I am not telling you never learn anything. Right? I'm not telling you, no way am I telling you that. I'm just saying is that when you do learn that, right thing to do, apply it to your lives. The smart thing to do would be is to apply it to your life. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. So we're going to the left a little bit, a couple chapters. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. Huh? 15. Brendan. Can you read that? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15.
Meditate
on these things. Give yourself eternally to them, that your progress may be evident to all. You know, a smarter man than I said, we don't develop in a day, but we develop every day. You know, we know the things we should be working on, right? Who all here knows things, the areas in their lives we should be working on, right? We all know things that we could improve, right? And we should do that. We should be working on them. And daily, we should be showing progress, right? We should be trying to hit progress daily, each time in that area. The mountaintop experience is awesome. It really is. It's awesome feeling. But we live in the mountains, don't we? We have the pleasure to live in the mountains. So what do we do at summer camp that we don't do here? You eat salad. Yes, Nick.
That aren't walking with God and could lead us away. We don't have a lot of things.
So distractions like this, right? Right, that's very good, right? I mean, well, good answer, not good that we have distractions, because those are a big part of why we don't have the mountaintop experience every day. But how about this question? What do we have here? What are we able to have here, what we had up there? No. Right.
Oh, church.
Right. Fellowship. Right. We could still have fellowship, can't we? We had fellowship up there. I know I worded that question.
No.
Thanks, Nick. But we could have fellowship, right? What else can we do? What we did up there? Pray for each other. Right? That's awesome. What else? Devotions. Right? The Word of God. How often the Word of God?
Daily.
Daily? Yeah, I know you guys were there, so you could answer. Right? What else? You have Gary either place. Right. I would. You know, how about encouraging one another? Right? We could encourage each other here. We don't have to wait to summer camp to encourage, to hug somebody when they're crying, right? We could do that. So getting together, going to church, you know, not just going to church, but wanting to go to church, right? Getting something out of church, actually listening. Those are all things that should be the same, shouldn't they? Yes, Nick hit it on the nose, is that there are distractions. But does that stop us? Yes. Should it stop us? Let's turn to Hebrews. It's to the right. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Ryan? Ever since the first time I ever went to summer camp, I don't know about you guys, but it was just awesome to see 400 plus kids, 400 plus teenagers, you know, with a like mind, with similar mind at least, right? With a similar mind. And it was an awesome sight. Now, we may not have 400 friends here in Pine Top, Lakeside. Maybe you do, I don't know. But, maybe closest. I see you guys counting, but but we do have friends. You're really close, Nick. But you have friends, don't you? Those aren't real friends. All right, So if Nick says he only has one friend, who's Nick's friend? Okay, raise a hand, who's Nick's friend? Oh, okay, fine. Oh, see, everybody here is your friend. Everybody here is your friend. So you have more than one friend. You can't say that ever again. Yes. Frenemies. You guys have friends. You could hang out with each other, right? Yeah. You guys are a group. You should reach out. You should do things, right?
It's not unless you feel like it, Gary.
No. Don't you feel like having fun, right? It was fun hanging out with friends, wasn't it?
I like it better.
I called you that, right? That, see? I will call you if that makes you happy. I'll call you that every day. Then you'll just get old, right? Worshiping God daily. We should be worshiping God daily, right? If not more, but at least daily. Now, is it the same God that we have here as over there?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. It's the same God, right? He moves. He's everywhere. Let's turn to John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 19 through 24. One off. John 4, 19 through 24. Who feels like reading a long one, Gretchen? You know, there was a time when those who believe in God, they would have to go through this procedure to worship God. Right? They'd have to go through a procedure. Every year they'd have to go, well, every time they felt needy or whatnot, they would bring an animal. They'd bring an animal to the tabernacle, right? They'd bring an animal. It was to pet it a lot of times, right?
Totally.
No, it was to sacrifice. It was sacrifice, this animal. And there's different animals for different things, but that animal's blood would cover the sin temporarily. Would cover the sin temporarily. But they do this, and then a priest, you'd have to go to a priest and let him know what you're doing, and then he would go behind this huge veil to the holiest of holies, the place where there'd be God's presence right there. And he'd intercede for you. Just letting, you know, praying for you that sacrifice would cover your sin. And that's what it's talking about here, is because the Jews would say, you have to worship in Jerusalem. That's the only place you have to worship. The lady what Jesus is talking to is a Samaritan, and her father said, no, we can worship here. This is the true place to worship. But what is Jesus saying? You can worship anywhere. There will be, it's coming a time. He didn't say that time was right then when he was talking to her, but he said that hour was coming. So in Luke, who could guess when that hour came? When he died. Yes, when he died. We turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 23, verse 44 through 46. I think I said it wrong. No, chapter 23, Luke 23, verse 44 through 46. Right? Got it? Got it, CJ? You got it? Chapter 23, 44 through 46. Huh? No, you got it. Thank you. All right. Jesus' sacrifice was the ultimate sacrifice. We no longer have to sacrifice anything because that sacrifice covered us forever, covered all of our sins. From generations when this first happened to the generations now and the generations what will come, it covers all those sacrifices. Right? And then it mentions, and let's see how many people were paying attention to me earlier. So, I was saying about there was a sacrifice of animals, right? There was a time. And then a priest did something, right? He'd what? He'd go behind the veil, right? Huh? It was pretty big. It was pretty thick, too. Made of porpoise skin. I don't know, because that's what, because it was very sturdy and strong. I know it would last. I don't know. That's just what it was. So, but it said, and also in Mark, it says that it was torn in two from top to bottom, right? So it was very tall, so it had to be something supernatural what tore it, coming from the top to bottom, right? So what does that signify? What do you think that signifies, the tearing of the veil? Yes? Right, because God, after that sacrifice, Jesus gave us a helper, right? A helper, a comforter. He gave us whom? The Holy Spirit, right? With the Holy Spirit, we could just go and talk to God anywhere. Whether it be in the wilderness over in California, or the wilderness here, or the valley, anywhere, right? Anywhere in between. God bless you. So this meant that anyone can worship in their own nation, right? They could worship in their own culture. That anyone can worship, praise, and ask for forgiveness. So I know Nick already looked at my notes and jumped ahead, but what stops us from doing these things? Said earlier. What, huh? Distractions, right? Distractions. And then Ryan confirmed it, is that distractions do stop us. They shouldn't, but they do, right? Distractions can, are not that they will, but they can stop us. Let's turn to Matthew. We're going to the left. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to say this right this time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. Brandon, can you read that? Yeah. So mammon. Mammon. What is it, right? You're thinking, is it a mammoth or what? No. Mammon, it's typically, bread. It's bread. In this case, what it is, it's something one trusts in. Something you trust in. In this case, when we're talking in these verses right here, more than likely it's talking about wealth. Because there's a lot of people what trust in wealth, don't they? There's a lot of people who trust in wealth. Now, yes. So you did. Yes, you did. I'm sorry. I stopped you too soon. Yes, I'd like you to read 25 now. But it worked out because then I was going to say, God bless you, is if we focus more on what we eat or what we wear, our appearance before man, or maybe making money, you know, in all the pleasures of the world, if we're focused more on that above worshiping God, you know, we should kind of hit the pause button, right? We should step back and think what's truly more important. Let's turn to Mark, chapter to the right, or book to the right, chapter 14, Mark 14. Verse 37 through 38. God bless you. Adam, do you feel like reading those? 37 and 38. Summer camp, there was this massive tree, right? They called it Jacob's Ladder, right? And it has, what is, you know, I don't even know what they're called, but the rock climbing steps on it or stools on it. Now, if you're not really keen on heights, you know, if you got halfway up it, you'd really understand that saying about the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? You know what that means, don't you? Right. It's like you're spent, right? Jesus gives us the answer in the sentence before about our spirit being willing, but our flesh is weak. What's that answer? The answer to that problem. That sentence right before, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Pray, right? Right. Watch and pray. So prayer is that answer for those times. You know, there's going to be times where things get rough, when you're feeling tired. But during those times, that's when we should lean on Jesus more. You know, staying strong, keeping focused, encouraging others, being in God's Word daily, and drawing closer to Him, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Right?